You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week on International Desk, we are going back to Hong Kong. Elections for local district councils will be held this weekend after 2 weeks of protests. The latest protest was sparked after Xiao Zilok, a computer science student at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, fell to his death near a car park where protesters and police clashed, and after tear gas was used at the start of November. Citywide strikes dubbed Operation Dawn were called on the internet for the 11th of November. Protesters that day set up roadblocks at many locations during rush hour, brought traffic to a standstill. Police fired live rounds at Sai Wan Ho on Hong Kong Island, and one 22-year-old man was shot twice. One video circulated online showed a police motorcycle ramming into a crowd of demonstrators and zigzagged across the road, injuring at least two. At the Chinese University of Hong Kong, students blocked major highways and train tracks close to the campus. Riot police, claiming they need to reopen major roads, attempted to force their way into university grounds while pepper spraying and firing more than 1,000 rounds of tear gas and rubber bullets at protesters, who hurled brakes and petrol bombs in response. Clashes also broke out at the Polytechnic University in the middle of the city, as police sieged the campus, blocking all roads and trapping more than 1,000 protesters inside, with almost half of them underage. Protesters responded by launching petrol bombs and rocks using catapults and fired arrows at the advancing police. Despite many have surrendered to police or emerged as part of medical evacuations, hundreds of protesters still try to break out by roping down bridges or tunneling out using the sewers. Tens of journalists on the scene, as well as volunteer first aiders who helped treat the wounded, were also arrested on the grounds of rioting. Some officers threatened protesters publicly. They want to recreate the events of the Tiananmen Square massacre of 1989 at the Polytechnic University. Dozens currently still remain inside. With local elections coming up this weekend, there were concerns whether it can take place, and there is a possibility that the government might postpone the election. I talked to Janet Ng, a member of the Civic Party in Hong Kong who's running for re-election as the district councillor for the Mei Fu Central constituency, and I first asked her about her thoughts on that possibility.
Theoretically speaking, there's no legal basis for the government to delay the local elections. The government was planning to use the Emergency Regulations Ordinance to delay the election, but now a mask ban that was pushed through under the piece of legislation was ruled unconstitutional by the High Court, and it will look very bad for the city, and it will be very problematic if the government tries to defy the court. Personally, I don't see the possibility of cancelling the election. But even though if the government decides to postpone the election by a week or two, they'll need to use extra time and resources to make rearrangements. And most of all, politics-wise, I don't think delaying the election could dramatically change what Hong Kong citizens are thinking in 1 or 2 weeks. While pro-Beijing politicians always say the democratic camp is supporting the so-called rioters to destroy the society, the fact is, thanks to the informational society that Hong Kong is today, we can see the police are completely out of order. Instead of enforcing the law like they should, they're treating every citizen as their enemy. No matter how they frame it in front of the press, people can see it for themselves that they are beating normal civilians. And don't forget, the police fired more than 10,000 rounds of tear gas for the past 5 months all over the city. Everyone in the city are suffering from them. Many people have already had severe health reactions to it, and the police to this day still haven't told us what warranted them to use tear gas and even the gas are made of. So, unless the police are trying to deceive those who seriously believe that tear gas doesn't cause any harm because they are uneducated or other reasons, the public know what is going on, and the majority of them don't trust the police right now.
So your constituency in Meifu is a middle-class urban area that is dominated by private housing estates. Well, now we have seen a lot of cases in the past couple of months that riot police entered private areas without a warrant to detain protesters and fire riot control weapons to disperse crowds. If that happened in one of these estates inside your constituency, what would you do?
Sad to say, not that much. Of course, I would condemn such acts if that happened or demand the management office of the housing estates to do something to lessen its effects. But currently, we cannot do anything to stop officers from entering private areas without a warrant. Yes, back in September, I moved a motion at the local district council to condemn police for the excessive use of tear gas and violence against citizens. But after the election, can we do anything to stop this? I must admit, local representatives are powerless at this moment because the authorities are allowing these so-called officers of the law to wage violence against citizens. That's why protesters are demanding to disband the police force. But the scale of that is not something a single local politician can achieve. What I can do right now is, whether anything happens, I will stand at the front of my constituents and help them out.
Compared to past local elections, has anything changed in the context of our political participation?
Well, it's very different. Usually for pro-government candidates, they use human wave tactics, meaning they will start their campaign way in advance, about 4 months ahead of election day. In fact, they had teams consisted of hundreds of people campaigning in constituents 24/7 for 4 straight months. And that model has been used for ages. But this election has been very different, as they have a far less visible campaign, because every time anyone associated with the pro-government candidate's campaign shows up, they would get heckled or shouted at angrily. So their presence on the street has been far more limited for the past 2 or 3 months compared to the past. And they only started to dial up the campaign's intensity recently. Another change is the pro-government groups are using all their resources to play a full-on smear campaign. These smears were alleging local election candidates who belong to the opposition camp were supporting what they call rioters. But we always said on the public record we support Hong Kongers, which are completely different things. But the most ridiculous thing is, even though all candidates were entitled to get their flyers delivered free of charge, the other side decided to mail these smear leaflets at their own expense, anonymously, to everyone. It wasn't this crazy and full-on in the past, because the other side would just hand these out in the street, rally a couple of people to shout at us, or spread malicious rumours inside the community. But from our side, even though we're used to getting outmanned, as sometimes we only have one other member campaigning at the constituency, this campaign is more difficult because we are facing all the traumas caused by the events of the past few months. We just don't feel like campaigning anymore, and our constituency surgeries on the street has been trying to smooth tensions out, or even give advice to protesters who are facing legal trouble. We spent less time campaigning because it felt meaningless to do that when blood is being shed in the streets.
Now, several candidates from both political camps have been attacked on the streets while they were campaigning. Were you concerned about your safety when campaigning in your own constituency?
I would say I'm quite brave. I won't say I would disregard or ignore threats because they exist, such as verbal violence or approaching menacingly. I haven't encountered any physical violence yet, but I don't think I should not campaign on the street because I'm scared of these threats. But for sure, I know some other candidates have toned down their campaign because they're actually concerned about their personal safety.
Do you think the current civil discontent could help your or any other opposition candidates' cause?
其实一定我想相信正常少少的人都不会。
Definitely. Now, police brutality has been very well documented. I believe the most decent human beings are now against the force and what they stand for. Because the police is an inseparable part of the government, and pro-government candidates support the government. There is already an idea embedded in the community that supporting pro-government candidates in elections equals to supporting the police. I believe the number of votes that pro-government candidates get in this election in a way demonstrates what support the police have left.
但是他的水位是減了, Chief Executive Carrie Lam and her cabinet has constantly emphasized the primary target for the city was to stop violence by any means. Do you think she can achieve what she wanted? And what should the government do apart from stopping the violence?
其實他現在止暴制亂是廢話來的。
Lam's rhetoric is an absolute waste of time because she is the one that is creating all the violence. She is the one turning tolerating police on using the highest levels of violence against protesters. Look what happened in the past few days where they used to... Look what happened in the past few days when they used live ammunition because police are now pretending to be real soldiers. If you keep raising the bar on police violence, you cannot stop the violence itself. She is lying when she said the government will put an end to all the violence, and normal citizens know that. Because police commanders are not talking sense when they are questioned during press conferences. How can you possibly stop violence in the city when citizens don't even trust you? The only legible outcome for this is to reform the whole police force, because now we could see and hear on live news reports police commanders ordering their officers to aim at the protesters' head when they use riot control weapons. An inquiry might hold a few officers responsible, but in the long term it is useless, because it doesn't treat the cause. So I don't understand on Lam's rhetoric could bring peace back to the streets. The only way the government should be doing is positively responding to the demands of the protesters, stop its persecution on protesters, and start a structural reform of the whole police force, starting by disbanding the riot police and the tactic squad, before starting an independent inquiry.
But how can local councillors like yourself help resolve the tensions caused by the political crisis?
I think it's best for councillors to start civil education. I've been doing this while we have our surgery in the streets to call for others to be more accommodating. It's all right that all of us have different views on politics. But we don't have to be angry or threaten each other, especially inside the family, because it will only destroy relationships. But I will continue to tell others what I believe in, on what is the rule of law and the constraints the police have, to let others know why the police are in the wrong. The current atmosphere now is promoting violence, because the police kept using violence on protesters and young people. Seeing that there is no way for the police to be held responsible for their actions, naturally responded with equal amounts of violence. Even though I could be criticized by those supporting the police for sprouting lies, but I would still invite them to look into the views of others or see the facts or regulations for themselves. That's why starting civil education in the community is important.
That was me talking to Janet who is running for district councillor for the Meifu Central constituency on behalf of the Civic Party in Hong Kong. Isaac Ip of the New People's Party is also running at that seat, but he did not respond to my request for an interview.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.